Greetings, former Decepticons. This is Starscream, and you're listening to Transformation Animation Podcast.
Will these infernal setbacks never end?
The revolution begins now.
My name is Optimus Prime, and this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Ah, the universal greeting! Bioweep, Grana, Weep, Minibong!
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DFG and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello!
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. So, Steve, what have you been up to?
Nothing. No. Redoing PredaconEmpire.com.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's, it's gonna have a new facelift, a lot less crap to deal with, and,
More streamlined.
More streamlined, and, it should just be overall more, I don't know, I'm gonna have less, episode downloads. Meaning, if it's out on DVD, I'm just going to have a thing that says, go buy it.
Yeah.
And that's
what we should do. I mean, because, you know, technically, you know, that is piracy.
Yes, and granted, I don't give a shit about that. I am not going to waste the space that could be taken up by podcasts.
Yeah.
I have probably 10 gigs of video.
Wow.
On Predacon Empire alone that could be redirected towards the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm in the process of doing. So it should look nice when I get done with it.
Yes. And Michael, what have you been up to?
All sorts of things.
Yeah, it's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week. Well, we've done, just with the podcasting, we've done a couple of interviews.
Yep.
We did one with Christy Marks,
yep.
Writer for Beast Wars and for Gemini Holograms. Always fun to talk to her.
Yeah.
And we talked to Tom Kenny.
Yes, SpongeBob.
We talked to SpongeBob for a bit and animated Starscream.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Are we going to put the animated Starscream bumper
in
this episode?
Okay. Oh, yeah. The way I do the bumpers, the way I try to do the bumpers is because right now we have David Kay, Phil Lamar, Tara Strong, and now Tom Kenny. I try to alternate them each episode. So, like, I try to. So, like, episode 1 might have been Phil Lamar, 2 might have been Tara, 3 might have been David Kay. I blanked on his name there for a second. You know, so I try to.
We talked to twice.
One guy. It's nothing. God damn it. My brain is old and fragile. Leave me alone.
It's like mush at this point.
When you get chill, you know. If my brain's mush, Michael's doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Mine.
I know. My brain is being held together with sugar cubes and WD-40 at this point.
Oh, God. So yeah, we did the top Ken, Tom, I almost said top, Tom blah, Kenny, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Very interesting to talk to him.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, he is not into the whole, so he's anti-social networking. He doesn't have a Skype. He doesn't have Twitter. He doesn't have Facebook.
I don't think he has a computer.
I think he told us that off air. I don't think he has a computer, so.
That's scary. How do you live like that?
I can't imagine. Well, back in the Stone Age, what we used to do.
Yeah. Back when phones had rotary dials and cords. And how does this happen?
Yeah.
Still rocking the pager, are we, Tom? All right.
did you watch the episodes today with your boys?
Actually, I did not.
Oh, really?
No, not this time. We've been really busy around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So no, we didn't get a chance to watch them together.
Yeah, it seems like every time I talk to you or every time I see you post on Facebook, you or your wife, it's like, it's time for another home improvement project. Hey, Wilson, you got any advice?
Yeah, well, we actually just replaced our entire heating and air conditioning system.
Yes.
And that was a couple days worth of work. It's done now, and it's relatively comfortable in the house.
There you go.
Can't complain. Yeah, I can't complain. And then in other news, I'm waiting patiently for my iPhone 4S to be delivered.
May the 4S be with you.
Exactly. May the 4S be with you. It's not with me yet. In fact, I'm not sure where it is.
Coming to you from a galaxy far, far away.
Yes. Exactly. It's sitting in an X-Wing being delivered.
It's stuck on an X-Wing up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
It's on a Star Destroyer. You
know, it's hard because, you know, I'm hearing people on Twitter saying, oh, I got mine already. And it's like, well, did you order it at 4 in the morning? You know, how did you get that quickly? And I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe they got it directly through Apple, or maybe, you know, maybe Verizon shipping them out faster. But I ordered mine through AT&T at 2 in the afternoon on the 7th. And I hear that there's like a cutoff window there where if you ordered it before 4 p.m., then you may get one on the 14th. If you ordered it after 4 p.m., well, then you're back ordered, and you're going to have to wait another week or two.
Great.
And it's like, well, is that 4 p.m. Eastern? Because, you know, it's like, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know. Well, even if it was 4 p.m. Eastern, that would have been noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 p.m. Eastern would have been 6 p.m. my time, so.
No, 4 p.m. Eastern would have been 3 p.m. your time.
Oh, well, then maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know maybe that I ordered mine at 2.
Maybe you are on back order.
Maybe I am. I don't know. But I know from what I'm told. Again, I don't know this for sure, but from what I'm told, AT&T doesn't charge your credit card for pre-orders until it ships.
But yours has already been charged.
Mine's already been charged, yeah.
So maybe it is on its way. I don't know. Them postal workers and them delivery services, they're kind of slow nowadays.
You know, honestly, look at the logistics of it. They had a million pre-orders. Getting a million boxes out in the mail within what type of time frame? What, 2-3 days? That's huge. There's just no way.
So that's why my goddamn hoodie hasn't gotten here yet.
It got stuck in the mail because there's this deluge of iPhones coming through the postal system.
Speaking of hoodies, we now have stores where you can buy geekcastradio.com merchandise. You can go to Zazzle and buy t-shirts that are slightly for larger people. You can also buy mugs and mouse pads and stickers and all kinds of cool stuff over at Zazzle. You can go to Spreadshirt.com and buy, you know, shirts for regular sized people, like 2X and under. So yes, go buy our stuff. They make great Christmas gifts.
Spreadshirt kind of sounds like it would be shirts for larger people.
No. It does, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's spread your shirt right
spreading
out.
Spreading out that shirt. Yeah. Or I mean, very Zazzle, large breasted women.
Wow. Zazzle.com is the only place online outside of like maybe like awesome 80s tees or whatever the hell that, like it's 80s tees. Zazzle.com is the only place that I've noticed that you can put custom shirts into, and they have over a 2X for a size. Every other store that I've seen online, Cafe Press, all this other stuff, they cut off at like 2XL.
We will happily slap your logo on a tent and ship it to you.
Yeah, exactly. Fuckers. All right, so let's get this show on the road with the Season 3 premiere of Transformers Animated.
We'll be ready for anything that comes through. Count on it. Ironhide! Braun! Transform and fall back! We need to protect the space bridge!
Blackout, you fool! We need the space bridge operational!
Oh, sorry.
Cyclonius, oil slick, help Priest Spitter and secure the perimeter!
You'll have to get past me first, Decepticreeps!
You say that like it's a difficult thing, Autobot.
Cosmic Rust!
Striker to Shockwave.
Team Char has taken Space Bridge 687030, requesting access code so we make transwarp to Cybertron.
We are under strict orders from Megatron. No one is to make a move until he and his team arrive.
But he was supposed to be there mega cycles ago!
Starscream, you incompetent malfunction. Your utter failure has reached astronomical proportions.
Maybe I'd have better luck removing these stasis cuffs if you had bothered to reattach my head to my body! And maybe we wouldn't be floating here helplessly if you hadn't overloaded a space bridge! Are you sensing a pattern here? This is all your... Where did that come from?
So up today is our in episode 12 we've got the three-part Transwarped. Around the galaxy, Decepticons are battling the thinly spread Autobot space bridges to join in Megatron's planned invasion from the previous season. Meanwhile, as Sari and Professor Sumdac deal with the fallout of her shocking discovery, the Autobots try to contact Cybertron to warn them of the traitor Longarm in their midst. Alright, I love this episode. This entire, they started showing promos like a month before this aired on Cartoon Network, and they're like, hour-long thing, or however long it's supposed to be, or 90-minute feature, whatever the, I don't even remember what it was, but I was super stoked for season 3. I didn't even care at the time if it was going to be the last season. I just knew that they were going to go balls to the wall with season 3. And one of the greatest things is they actually made Hotshot cool.
He had his leg blown off too.
Yeah.
Just like an Energon.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think with Hotshot as well with a lot of other characters including, you know, Rodimus. You get a lot of characters here that get their 5 minutes in under the sun.
Yeah,
they're I want to say 15 minutes of fame, but it's not even 15 minutes. It's literally they're on the screen for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just enough for you to go, "Wow, I can't believe they used that character." Like Spidor. Yeah. Oh my God, Spidor. Yeah.
Now I didn't know who Spidor was, so I.
Well, not only is he a Beast Wars 2 character, but he's also a. Had two different incarnations as far as Beast Wars toys.
Oh, cool.
No, I mean, there was a Spidor, and then there was Transmetal Spidor, and then he was also in Beast Wars 2, but he was actually a character in, Robots in Disguise. He was one of the bad guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was his Transmetal form.
Yeah, he was his Transmetal form. He was one of the Predacons. And that's really where I remembered him from, because, I mean, I didn't watch the Japanese ones, and he wasn't actually in Beast Wars.
No.
I know later on when we go to Cybertron, the correspondent will have an issue with Red Alert, but let's talk about the gender-bending Red Alert. I mean, I honestly don't mind it. I actually went through, after watching this entire thing, And I looked just to see, like, Tara Strong is doing like 17 freaking voices in this thing.
Yeah.
She's doing Red Alert. She's doing Strika. She's doing Sorry. She's, I don't even know what else at this point. She's got so many voice roles in this. But what do you guys think of Red Alert being a girl instead of a guy, Michael?
I don't have a problem with it. I honestly was never a big fan of the G1 Red Alert character. I kind of remember him being bipolar or something like that.
He was.
Yeah.
He was bipolar.
He was bipolar. Yeah, and he's paranoid. And yeah, paranoid always follows with impotence. So he's paranoid, impotent, and bipolar. And I just, you know, never had a lot of love for that particular character. So I have no problem with that being, you know, honestly, I think I would rather see, you know, Hello Nurse than another RC repaint green Paradrone medic.
Well, I mean, Red Alert isn't really an RC repaint. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying is normally when you look at when they bring out a nurse or a medic, it's
right.
It's going to be that green RC repaint.
Oh, okay. Paradrone
medic, you know, and personally, I'd rather see something else.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, because that Paradrone medic is just a big shelf warmer.
I will give the, you know, Derek J. Wyatt and all the people that worked on this show, they did amazing on making each character unique. They just did. Steve, any issues with the gender bending for Red Alert?
Honestly, it doesn't really matter because it's kind of one of those tertiary characters that just has its 5 seconds of fame and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a nice nod to the name and some of the resemblances, but it's the whole gender thing doesn't really matter in the grand scheme.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing with BotCon 2011 Dragstrip. Everybody was up in arms that they made it a female. Well, besides Blur, which was already being used for the Cheetor repaint, you only had the RC mold to work with unless you made Dragstrip a motorcycle, which would just be way too weird. That's kind of like strange. That's kind of like Motormaster being a fucking garbage truck. Give me a fucking break. Anyway. So I shot at your way there. Anyway, getting back to this. You know, and let all the fanboys rejoice. Rodimus with Judd Nelson providing the voice. Now, granted, cool. Judd has aged and his voice has aged, but still, it's still awesome.
I didn't even notice that was Judd Nelson, but that is a very nice nod.
Like I said, granted, Judd has aged and his voice has aged, and he doesn't have that young John Bender sound anymore. But it's still awesome to hear it. My only real complaint with having Rodimus in here is that he didn't get a chance to transform in animation, which, whatever. And then his demise. Oh,
well, he didn't actually die.
Well, no, I know he's not dead. He's in repair bay. But Cosmic Rust, really?
It's weaponized Cosmic Rust, which makes it even cooler.
Well, it came from Oil Slick, so.
No, it's weaponized Cosmic Rust. That's his own invention. But I had asked Derek Wyatt if at the time, you know, did you really kill off Rodimus? And he, you know, through Twitter, and he's like, no, he's not dead. He's in the hospital. He's fine.
He's just sleeping.
Yeah, he's, you know, he'll get better.
He's on vacation.
I was not expecting, and I'm not going to do it because I really don't want to get that loud, but I was not expecting Tom Kenny's Starscream voice to get that loud. This is all your fault! I was so not expecting that.
Well, I wasn't expecting him to turn into a laser either. He's actually got a Starscream.
Yes, exactly.
Scream? Yeah, it's just... Yeah, you know, I'm all one for puns and plays on words, but come on. Come on.
Well, he does have, you know, a giant, you know, immortal Allspark fragment embedded in his brain, so.
Yeah, sure.
Who said Megatron needed a gun anyway?
That would be funny if from now on all Megatron toys, instead of coming with the big plasma cannon on their arm, just have like Starscream's head mounted on there.
It's the talking gun. Oh wait, it's a Target Master. Oh wait.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Starscream.
Megatron with his Target Master, Starscream. Yeah. You know,
he sits on Megatron's shoulder pad and never shuts up, so he's like two head, and then you know, he just Starscream gets pissed and turns into a fusion cannon.
You gotta be careful what you wish for too, because a third party actually does have a Starscream that turns into a gun.
Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't mind.
They're actually pretty cool looking. It's kind of neat.
Blur's awesomeness never ceases to amaze, because holy crap, heel to the face.
Heel to the face. Yeah. It's like, Blur, where are you going so fast? What? You know you're going to die.
Shut up. Okay, now.
You got somewhere to be? No, you don't. You got nowhere Twitter. To be, buddy.
No, you don't know. You commented on my Facebook post. That's what it was. When I first watched this, okay, when I very first watched it when it was airing on Cartoon Network, nobody knew that they were
going to
kill Blur. And in Derek's defense, he did say afterwards that he tried his best. There were sketches out there that he tried to draw a spark in the Blur cube, so he was still alive. But you know, after Longarm gives him to Cliffjumper, and Cliffjumper throws him in the incinerator, he ain't coming back from that.
Well, you know, I think I want to say on Derek J. Wyatt's blog, his delightful Tedium blog, he posted pictures of the character sheet that had the cube, the Blur cube, with, and in the middle is a crack, and you can see
The spark
still intact inside. And when I was watching the episode, you could see the crack, but there wasn't anything in it. I think they just forgot to animate it.
Wasn't anything in
it
because they said they didn't see the
importance of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but still.
If you just kind of imagine it's not an incineration chamber, I mean, this isn't Aperture Labs, right? It could have just been a garbage chute that just dropped Blur's cube onto the top of a big pile of garbage, and eventually someone would be like, what's this? There's a spark cube in it, and resurrected Blur. I mean, it could happen. You know, we're not used to having
wishful thinking is what it is. It's wishful thinking. Blur's dead.
You know, it's like they only kill so many people in this episode, so you know, it's like, oh, it's not Transformers unless Blur dies. Oh no, wait.
I can't. Go ahead, Steve.
I wasn't saying anything.
Oh, I thought you were. I can't imagine David Kaye saying, "We're gonna kill them all." I just can't. I can't imagine David Kaye Optimus saying that.
Season 4.
No.
Season 4, we will kill them all.
He won't say that. He'll just do what Emperor Palpatine says. Wipe them out. All of them.
That's right.
Now, we have a voice change here. In Season 2, and in Season 1 as well, I believe, Omega Supreme was voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson. Here, in Season 3, he's voiced by Phil LaMarr. It's very, like, I can hear, pretty much what I hear in Omega in this episode is Phil LaMarr's Green Lantern voice from Justice League, with some sort of robotic overtone over it, kind of like a vocoder, but it's that deep voice like this type of thing that he's using for Omega, I think. I don't mind the voice change. I like Kevin Michael Richardson a little bit better, but I also don't think that Phil did a bad job with it. But I do like, it just goes to show that Megatron is conniving. He basically tricks Omega into transwarping to Cybertron.
Oh, yeah. You don't let this guy talk to you. He's like Hannibal Lecter, you know? He'll have you slit your own throat in the middle of the night. You know? It's just like, yeah. It's like either just toss him overboard or clamp his mouth shut so he can't say anything. Cause...
Well, it's like talking to tarantulas.
Oh, yeah.
Except the only difference between that is and Megatron are Megatron doesn't play the Rampage role of.
Stop it.
Again with the Hannibal Lecter. Yeah.
Yes. All right, now I know I've skipped over the whole thing about Sari and the family thing and, you know, her not wanting to talk to Sumdac and all that. Well, that's a great part of the story, and it's an okay part of the story, I guess. But, I mean, the main focus of this is the Autobot-Decepticon wars going on. But I do have to say that the only reason why I like Headmaster in this episode is because of what happens to him. He steals the giant, deformed Starscream body.
Puts Zombie his headmaster, Starscream.
Puts his Headmaster unit on it, battles with Optimus Prime, and this is why I thought Kevin was going to love this, was because Optimus Prime basically just turned it right back on Masterson about, you know, why don't you try fighting like a jet? You know, transforming is pretty difficult, even for a noob such as yourself. And just hearing Optimus say noob, it was more hilarious than any time Masterson has ever said it.
Yeah. Total ownage time.
I hated any appearance of Masterson.
Yeah.
I wish that they would have just said, you know what, you're a total noob, and then just squashed him.
Right. But see, that's what I was thinking that Kevin would like, is that Optimus, it wasn't really something that Masterson said, it was what Optimus did.
He tricked
That's him. What I thought Kevin would
he
like.
He outsmarted him, is what it comes down to. Yeah,
exactly.
He used his own ego against him.
Yep.
And he managed to rip his own head off.
Well, because he had his big head, it wouldn't fit inside Starscream. Itty bitty body.
Yeah. Fantastic magical cosmic powers. Itty bitty body.
Yeah.
Any tiny living space.
The only thing I liked from Masterson in this one, and it gave me a what the fuck moment, because when he says "cut it out, widget head,"
I saw you post that, and I had no idea what you're talking about. I was like, you might have to refresh my memory.
It's during the battle.
Yeah.
Because Prime just tells, Prime calls Sumdac,
yeah.
And in this really obvious tone, which Sari doesn't pick up on, he gives Sumdac where they're going to be. They're going to the Burger Bot, and right. Because Masterson was in the tower beforehand.
Tells him exactly where it's going to be, how long it takes to get there.
Yep.
In traffic.
And Masterson bugged the Sumdac Tower phone system, so he listened in. my note before the widget head note was, Muchu, bad idea, Deuterino. Holy fuck, thank God this is the last time we see Masterson.
I like Masterson.
Crush him. Crush him.
Crush him like a bug.
Now, it was somebody else, but it sounded exactly like this person's. Perceptor was not Stephen Hawking. Everyone thought it was, but it sounds just like him.
It's Microsoft Bob.
You know, that would be funny, too, because it's like, we got Stephen Hawking in to do a voiceover. It's like, that's, Stephen Hawking doesn't talk. His computer talks. You can make any computer talk just like him.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. Like, yeah, you know how much it costs to get Stephen Hawking to come in to do a voiceover? It's insane. Yeah, it's like we had to pay his lab. It was crazy.
It's like talking to Roger Ebert.
Oh,
it's not that bad. Come on, that's a low blow.
I know. God,
it's like
cutting
someone off at the knee, dude.
Perceptor has his bottom jaw. I mean, there's really no reason.
Oh, shit.
And Michael took it a step further.
Wow.
Well, I was getting at that they're making a voice based off of his own original voice, kind of like the Stephen Hawking thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I was getting at when I mentioned him, not the fact that he's missing part of his jaw.
Yeah, I wanted that's terrible. I wanted to see Wheeljack. I should say I wanted to hear Wheeljack talk. Because Wheeljack's there, and he's got this badass goatee going on. And I'm like, dude, Wheeljack is awesome. We need a Wheeljack toy. And, you know, it was sad, too, because at the time it was like, wow, we need a Perceptor toy, too. And we got the Perceptor toy.
Well, kind of. We got it Generations.
Perceptor was literally a truck with a microscope on top of it. So, yeah. Kind of got now, it. But a Wheeljack that looked like that with the badass goatee, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Yeah. Since you did mention the Perceptor toy, I will say that everybody was like, everybody that got that toy originally, like, they looked at the toy's license plate, 5-14-09, what the hell does that mean? What it means is May 14th, 2009 was the original air date of Transwarped.
Oh, see, there you go. It makes perfect sense.
Knowing is half the battle.
There you go. Red lasers and blue lasers and knowing. Yes.
I'm loving the flashback story that they're telling. I think that's really, really great. We're getting a history of, like, the beginnings of the war.
This is going to be the end of the war. This is, they're building their doomsday device so that the war will end.
Right, but there's, okay, well, it's not the very beginning of the war, but I mean, they're in the middle of it. They're strategizing and stuff like that. That's what I'm loving, and it's telling more of Ratchet's backstory, because throughout the entire series, we've gotten, you know, Ratchet's backstory up to now, and the backstory now for Ratchet is that he has to be the mentor bot for Omega, because RC transferred the code.
And the question becomes, and this is, this goes way back to the beginning. It's like, we know how Bulkhead and Bumblebee ended up as janitor bots, right? And sooner or later, we're going to find out how Optimus Prime ended up as a janitor bot. It won't be long now. But why is Ratchet there? I mean, he was a warrior in the first Great War. So how did he end up as a janitor bot? Well, he's stuck with the ship. He can't leave the ship. He's no matter what, where they put the ship, you know, he's there with it.
Yep. Exactly. Rock Lords.
I liked the Rock Lords. I mean, well, granted, I the original toys, not a big fan. They're kind of lame, right? But these particular Rock Lords were cool.
Yeah, they were kind of awesome.
These were like, you know, they had protuberances and tribal tattoos, and they look like giant bug-looking things. You know what they reminded me of, and this is kind of a weird thought, is they reminded me of the Garthim.
What's like that?
From the Dark Crystal.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen the Dark Crystal.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Wow, really? Seriously? Wow.
I honestly don't. If I have, it's faded from my now.
This is where that Netflix streaming will come in handy. I've got it on DVD. My kids have watched it. They think it's amazing.
I have seen it, it's been years and years and years and years.
This is like a little bit of Jim Henson at his best, honestly. You gotta go back and see that. But there's these giant crab monsters called the Garthim. And they're like, you know, it's pretty neat.
I'm a robot hero too. Are you serious? Sadly, though, we never got TFA robot heroes. I would have loved those little mini TFA robot hero figurine things. That would have been so cool.
You're heroes. Thinking, okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah, those.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
I was going to say, there was a Japanese line called Hero Robots. They were called, super deformed little robot. Yeah, I know. That would have been cool, maybe in 10 years.
Doubtful, very doubtful.
It's like the 15-year anniversary. It's kind of like, because we got the Beast Machines robot heroes because it was the 15th anniversary.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, you never know if they ever revisit something like that. I want to say Hasbro relaunched their little tiny super deformed line. So they've got them now for G.I. Joe. Not G.I. Joe, just Star Wars.
Yeah.
Something else, but they're kind of like,
yeah,
you know, the Robot Heroes line or the, what they call them, Space Heroes?
Galactic Heroes now.
The Galactic Heroes on the Star Wars side.
Yeah.
But they don't, they're more articulated. They're better toys, what it comes down to. It could come back. You don't know. I don't know.
I just want to warn anybody right now who has a weak stomach. There will be some sexual innuendo in the next few minutes here.
There will.
She is going to insert the key in herself. Oh, my God.
This is such a bad idea. You know, it opened up her chest. Her chest opened up. And it was like a Matrix chamber.
And it lit up.
Bad porno is what it is. I swear.
No,
it's robo porn.
She wasn't bucking and writing on the key. It opened up in her chest. I wasn't even thinking that, and I got a dirty mind. So
she ripped her shirt open, and light came out, and she plugged the key in.
And it jiggled between her. Never mind.
No.
And then she transformed.
Well, it kills me, though. She transforms from an 8-year-old to a 16-year-old.
She hit puberty, and she had sex with the key.
It's just like, wow. But, I mean, she changes into something cooler, I should say.
She integrated with her vibrating key. That's as far as I'm going with that.
You just want to make this dirty. Is that what it comes down to? Yeah.
And then, of course, sorry, out of control. Ratchet has to use the EMP, even though he doesn't want to, blah, blah, blah.
Taser. Has to save Bumblebee.
Because
Bumblebee's got a hole in his chest, too.
That was my note. I don't. Sadly, I don't think he turned gray, but that was my note. Finally, somebody other than Prime dies.
Well, that was. It's like, it's not Transformers unless Bumblebee dies. Oh, no, wait. He never dies. But one of the themes of the episode so far has been, you know, Ratchet saying, I'm a good doctor. I know what I'm doing. I may be a little, maybe a little rusty, you know, but I've been doing this a long time. I know what I'm doing. And instead of relying...
Rusty doctors is how people end up with, you know, physical disabilities for the rest of their fucking life.
No. Well, let's not deal with that. Let's just deal with Ratchet for the moment. So Ratchet, you know, he's had trouble in the past, and he really hasn't practiced medicine in a long time, especially since Sari and her key have come along, because every time someone gets hurt, she hops up on their chest and plugs it in. So, and, you know, again, blatant overuse of the key.
I thought it too.
Everyone's got the, you know, a hole in their cleavage that the key fits into. So... Exactly. So the whole thing here coming full circle is the key no longer works because Sari used it all up on her new 16-year-old bod, and Ratchet has to come through and actually do his job. And at this point, he's thinking, I don't think I can do my job. You know, this is really serious. He starts to panic, but he pulls through. Bumblebee pulls through.
Yeah.
And they prove that, you know, he's still got it. You know, he's not obsolete yet.
Yeah. I already mentioned, I had a note after that one about Phil doing a neat Omega. So I already talked about that. And then Prowl pulls it out of her, and I have it in quotation marks.
Oh God.
And she went offline.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't go offline. She was still
I know.
Well, no, she didn't go offline. She just went to sleep. She's in a coma.
No, I think even after he pulls the key out, she's still spinning around and killing things.
For a few minutes, and then I think Ratchet hit her again with the EMP. I don't remember. Okay, come on, this goes along the line of Kevin constantly through the podcast talking about why do robots need human things?
Yeah.
Why the fuck does a robot need bandages. Are you serious? There's a clear white bandage over Bumblebee's chest.
Oh, I don't know. Was it a bumper sticker this time?
No, it was almost like a white Ace bandage.
Ace. Well, you know, it's a covers up holes. I don't know.
Yes.
I didn't even notice it. I don't remember. I'm really surprised you're being so nitpicky. But,
well,
okay.
That's pretty much the only nitpick. I only have a couple more notes anyway. I love Ratchet's snarky remark when he upgrades Bumblebee to battle grade stingers, and he's like, and Bumblebee's like, why didn't you do that before? And Prime's like, because battle grade stingers aren't allowed, or something.
And then Ratchet turns around.
Ratchet turns around and goes, what are you going to do, arrest me?
You know, honestly, the first time I saw a Decepticon, I would have been like, give me your arm. It's like, you know what, we're going to need a little more oomph here. Let's take care of that for you.
Yeah, that's all Bumblebee's ever going to be is a decoy.
Because they send him to be the decoy for Omega. While Prowl and Prime sneak in.
Yeah. Go over there and shoot him in the foot. See how well that works. Sure, okay.
And my last note was kind of close to the end of the episode. Finally, Bulkhead and Bumblebee have a good idea with the transwarp randomly thing with the receiving beacon, throwing it on Omega. So Starscream can't transwarp directly to Cybertron. He'll just transwarp randomly across the galaxy. I know I've skipped a lot of stuff, but that's just how I took my notes, and I figure Steve has more, so... any thoughts on transwarp, Steve?
I think it kind of sucks that Blur died, but...
Yeah.
Because I rather liked him in this show. And I am so glad Masterson is gone.
He didn't die.
No, I know, but he's never coming back. I'm glad he's never coming back.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm glad that the stupidity of gamer speak is gone. Forever.
Total ownage time.
Yes. I love the fact that they made Omega transwarp all over the place. Just random.
That's kinda awesome.
That is kind of cool. It kind of sucks, like we said about, you know, the incinerating Blur, because it's sad. I liked Blur. Yeah. I like the image that floats around, and it could have been like, well,
we can't pay John Machida what he wants for another episode, so let's just kill his character.
Oh.
I think they were just going through a Blitz episode, like, how many people can we kill in one episode? Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't kill that many, I mean. They almost killed Bumblebee. That doesn't count,
though. They wiped out Rodimus's crew.
Yeah, I suppose if they're dead. I mean,
C-1ers died.
Derek Wyatt said, they're not dead. He's not dead. Don't worry about it. As far as the show shows,
they technically are.
They look pretty dead.
You should never see them again.
They don't come back, I don't think.
No.
I mean, unless he throws them in a later crowd scene or something.
Yeah. At the end of when we get to the finale of when we get to episode 15, all the Transformers that have showed up throughout the entire series are in the crowd scene at the end of Endgame Part 2.
Well, there you go.
What else, Steve?
I think it's funny how they implicate Wasp as the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no!
I love how Longarm isn't able to really keep up appearances a few times.
He doesn't sound very sure of himself toward the end.
No.
He's like, I think that all communications should be routed through me. And they all look at him and he's like, for security. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how he does that. And then you can pretty much tell that he's like, you know what, I'm getting tired of this crap. I've been posing as an Autobot for 4 million years now.
Well, I mean, this will eventually, because obviously as season three goes on, they're going to expose him. I mean, that's, you know, there's no helping that. And we as the audience obviously already know, you know, we're in on it. So as far as who he really is, Michael, do you have anything? Have you remembered anything that you'd like to bring up?
I do. I had a few things that came up in my mind. First of all, I could watch the first 5 minutes of this movie, you know, off the three-parter. I should say the first 5 minutes of episode 30 over and over and over again.
Yeah, the, Team the whole... Athena versus Team Char. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is – it's awesome. And it's all these characters that you didn't think you would see that you suddenly – it's like Braun and – well, we've seen Ironhide, right? But we don't really see him much after the auto boot camp doing the transform-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Hotshot being a character and, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Hotshot, but – yeah, this was a pretty cool. I mean, the fact that he's got—I don't want to say like napalm launchers, but he's got a fire.
It's a flamethrower.
He's got a fire weapon, right? And his name is Hotshot.
It's a flamethrower.
Yeah, but that kills me. His name is Hotshot. And he's got a flamethrower. That's just awesome. And Spidor, you know, an oil slick who has a toy, but he didn't actually show up. This is like the equivalent of taking one of those, you know, second string. You know, early Beast Wars toys and putting him in the cartoon for no apparent reason. It's like, Razor Beast, you're up. You know, come on in. You got a cameo.
Razor Beast, I choose you.
Exactly. Or, you know, like Beast Wars Spinor. You know, he shows up in the cartoon. He's like, hey, I'm a frog. Hey. It's like, no. Frogs don't show up in Beast Wars. But no, I like that. I thought that was terribly cool. I like Stryka. I like Stryka back in Beast Machines.
Yeah, Stryka has a nice updating. It's very faithful to the Beast Machines design.
It is, and I don't really care for the character, but either way, I mean, even in Beast Machines, I didn't really, but it's very true to the Beast Machines form and voicing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, toss an Obsidian, this would have made my day. But I'll settle for Cyclonus. Cyclonus was cool, too.
Cyclonus.
How did he get there?
Why couldn't we have gotten that toy? Or why can't Takara repaint the Universe Cyclonus in that toy and give us swords? Oh my god. That would have been an awesome animated toy.
It seems like all the animated toys have swords. Why does RC have swords? This doesn't make any sense to me.
As much as I don't like the third party stuff.
Yeah.
I can't one of the third-party companies like what was it, Corbot V that made the War for Cybertron axe for the Optimus Prime toy. Why can't they make purple swords for the Universe Cyclonus repaint, like the Battle in Space Cyclonus? Oh my god, that would be so awesome.
You know, the Japanese make, I don't know what toy company it is, but they make reproduction, like ninja weapons and samurai weapons. And it would be very easy to like paint one of those purple if you can get your hands on them. I tried to through eBay at one point. I couldn't get any. But, you know, back to the task at hand here. I really, really like that battle. And it's a shame that, you know, most of these guys, we see them for 5 minutes and we see Stryka again toward the end of the episode, but about half a minute, just long enough to cuss out Shockwave. But that's it. And it's like, man, you know, this is pretty epic. I would like to see just a whole episode on Team Athena.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Wow, what's that noise?
Random robot noises. Lovely.
I know. It's like giant freaking robot stepping on my house. Crap. I liked the whole... I don't even know what to call it. It's like Bumblebee being transported across the universe.
Yeah, the random transwarping, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that because it seems like every time the ship or Omega Supreme would teleport, Bumblebee would kind of follow in its footsteps.
Yeah.
Sort of end up wherever it was and then get eaten by Rock Lords. Did they actually call them Rock Lords?
No. Derek did afterwards, though. They just called them Rock Monsters in the episode. But it's a clear homage.
Well, I mean, it's a rock that turns into, you know, humanoid something or another. I suppose you could, I could see how you could get there. Sure, why not? You know, what was really touching is the whole, I don't want to say reunion or what's the term here? The reconciliation of Sari and Sumdac.
Yeah,
he's like, she is my daughter and I love her, and he's like. You know, and I'm like, oh, and then she jumps out of the garbage can and goes, he's my dad and I love him. And I'm like, oh. You know?
And then she uses her giant fists of fury to blast the headmaster.
Well, to move his foot a little. You know, that was kind of neat. But I would
Sorry. Yeah, let's talk about that. That really quickly, that foot movement, because holy crap, Starscream is a girl. He has heels. No, I mean, it looks like a woman's high heel shoe. I understand that it's his thruster in jet mode and everything else, but just the way that Masterson moved after she blasted him, the way that I swear to God, it looked like a woman walking in high heels.
Okay.
It did. Starscream, the cross-dressing robot.
And what part of your personality did you come from? You don't want to know. What'd she say? I don't want to talk about it. Or, all right. Anyway. So, yeah, that part of the personality is where Slipstream came from.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh. What? But anyway, it was very touching when they made up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that part. It, you know, brought a little tiny bloody tear to my eye.
A bloody tear?
Like a dirty little tear, baby. Rolling down my dirty little...
Okay, what else do you have for Transwarped?
hold on. I'm running off the cuff here because I forgot. And I'm actually just kind of like scanning through the text here. Like, what do I remember? Damn it. Normally, I'm a lot more prepared here and I've actually got notes written down, but I don't have them. Right now.
You fail. You fail as a podcaster.
Epic fail. I suck at this. Why do you let me continue?
You're fired.
Exactly.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Me first.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you first? You can't be fired. You're the network co-creator, you asshole.
I can be fired from shows.
Oh. We have what? Five more episodes of...
Can we? God, we should have booted his ass long ago. Oh, anyway.
Good night, everybody.
I forgot to mention during the flashback, I want to say not director of security, but... I thought his name was Hardhead.
I thought it was Highbrow.
Highbrow, that's it. Okay, we meet Highbrow. Hardhead is in there somewhere, too, but we meet Highbrow. And the other one was Mainframe.
Yeah.
And Mainframe was actually a, what do they call them? Stupid Transformers that don't transform.
Action Masters.
Robots?
Action Masters, yeah. You know, I'm tired, and I'm sure there's fanboys out there that are screaming at me like, Action Master, motherfucker! You know? I just couldn't get it off the top of my head there. They're called Action Masters. Yeah, so Mainframe was an Action Master, but Highbrow, I want to say it was a Headmaster.
He was, yep. I believe he had Gort in him in G1.
He had a little bit of Gort in him.
Boom!
Oh, no.
Headshot.
Headshot.
That was the other comment I had. Oh, my God. What was it when the revelation comes to Sari that, you know, she's actually part Cybertronian? She's like, hey, we're cousins, you know, but she's thinking, well, if Sumdac made me and the only access to Cybertronian material he has is Megatron. And she's
Megatron's
like,
my dad.
You mean my dad put Megatron parts in me?
Yeah. It's like, oh, she's got a little Megatron inside her.
Bounce, come on.
I'm thinking that's so wrong.
It's almost like saying she's got a little bit of Captain in her.
Oh, wow.
Captain Fanzone? They Captain did Morgan. Try to make her live with him.
Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan.
Okay.
Yeah. Got a little Megatron. Just a little one. So, you know, that's not saying.
Not a big one.
That's, you know, you look at the size of the guy's feet, and it's like, fuck, you know.
Crap. Wow. It horrible, doesn't fit. Horrible sexual connotation. All right. Yeah. So, overall, Steve, how did you like Transwarped overall?
Excelente.
You had to throw the Mexican in there? Wow. Michael?
Oi.
Everybody loves Mexican.
They need a little Mexican in them.
We don't need no stinky Mexican.
You goddamn dirty ape.
All right, so Michael, overall, Transwarped, what did you think?
That was actually topical because that line was referenced in the show. So, what did I think? I really like this one. Again, this is where the writers, I think at this point they knew, I don't want to say, you know, they were positive, but I think they thought there was a chance that they weren't going to get picked up for a fourth season. And this was, I want to say, the year that I met Derek J. Wyatt at the BotCon, and I told him, you know, hey, there's another Transformers movie coming out this summer, and the last Transformers TV show that you know, was out before the first Transformers movie got canceled because the movie was coming out, and they wanted to focus on those toys. I said, you know, what do you think the chances are that you're going to get a fourth season? And he basically, you know, said, oh, you know, we're hoping. You know, we'll cross the fingers. I don't know for sure.
Wait, which BotCon?
Was that
Shattered Glass?
Was that 2008?
Yeah, the Shattered Glass was 2008.
I want to say, yeah. I'm not sure exactly. But Shattered Glass was there.
Was in Cincinnati.
Marty Eisenberg, yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was, yeah, Cincinnati. Oh, God, that was just a dangerous, dangerous area to be in around that convention center.
And I was there.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, was it Cincinnati or Lexington, Kentucky that was dangerous?
Maybe Lexington was 2006.
It was, no, Lexington, Kentucky was the dangerous one. We went around the neighborhood. It was like, oh, my God, we're going to die.
Lexington was the Beast Wars con. That was Dawn of Futures Past in 2006.
Yeah, that one was, that was dangerous. We didn't actually get into a nice area until we crossed the river and went over to Newport. Cincinnati was nice. We went on a... Christy and I went on a, what do they call that? It was a horse-drawn carriage ride around the city.
Hayride?
No, it wasn't a hayride. It was a horse-drawn carriage. It was a carriage.
Okay, that's what they call it then.
It wasn't a hayride.
No, I know, but no, I'm saying a horse-drawn carriage is what they call it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was very romantic. It was nice.
All right, so...
Anyway, back to what I was saying is, you know, that year... Talked to Marty Eisenberg, talked to Derek J. Wyatt. And I want to say, yeah, Derek J. Wyatt was like, I don't know. I don't make those decisions. And Marty Eisenberg was like, well, you know, we're just going to cross our fingers and hope. You know, we're not sure. I can't say either way. And at that point, I'm thinking, oh, you guys are so screwed. You're getting canceled. You know, but.
Because of the shittiest Transformers movie in history.
Oh, my God. It was a horrible, horrible movie. But, you know, it sold a lot of toys. And it sold a lot more toys than Transwarped sold. You know, I mean, sadly. Well,
they actually had made the Transwarped toys when the show was airing.
You know, there are some Transwarped toys that only appeared in Japan. They never even made it to the States because nobody wanted to sell them.
Blackout was one of them, I think.
Yeah, Blackout was. Yeah, Blackout. Well, the other, I want to say, RC and Rodimus almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
And when they did make it,
it was too little, too late.
They were hard to find at first because the collectors were scooping them up. But then, as they made,
I honestly don't think it was the collectors. I think it was the fucking scalpers.
That too, yeah, because you saw a lot of them on eBay, but I mean, I found a couple, and I was like, "Woohoo, I'm happy," but about a year later, you see them shelf warming, and it's like, this is why retailers don't want to buy these toys, because they're going to shelf warm. They're looking to buy the movie toys because that's where the quick money's going to be made.
Yep. And for me, getting back to this, overall, Transwarped, great way to start the season. Even though, sadly, this is the last season of the show, lots of action, lots of story. They pretty much, not only did they tie up stuff in season two as far as ending all the stuff from the previous two seasons, in this they're also tying up what the cliffhangers were from season two, like, you know, Omega going through the space bridge and, you know, Sari getting her robotics arms ripped off and everything else. Overall, I think it's a great way to start the season, and can't wait for more. We are going to go to some ads, then we're going to head to Cybertron to hear what Kevin has to say, and we'll be back to close the show.
Here is quote number one.
You mean my dad put Megatron parts in me? Ew.
Here's quote number two.
Why don't you try fighting like a jet?
That is, unless you don't think you can handle transforming. It is pretty difficult, especially for a noob such as yourself.
Ugh, nobody calls me a noob!
And quote number three.
Ooh, the Autobot Elite Guard. This should be fun.
Attention, Decepticons. This is Megatron. All units fall back at once. Do not engage the Autobots until further orders.
Fall back? He cannot be serious.
There will be grave consequences for those who disobey. Your leader has spoken.
Right. You heard the bot! Fall back! On the double!
You ain't gonna believe this, Commander. But the cons are going Splitsville.
Finally, quote number four.
All communication with Optimus Prime's crew should be filtered through me first. No exceptions.
For security's sake, of course.
And for the sake of all Cybertron.
Yes! No! No! No!
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, eject, Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Hello again, it's Optimus Solo, your Cybertronian correspondent, coming at you with my thoughts on the beginning of Season 3 of Transformers Animated. That's right, we're talking Episode 30 through 32, or the first three Season 3 episodes, which is the Transwarped 3-parter. Now, I know the guys went into detail about it, so I'm going to try to avoid most of the inner details and just kind of gloss over my ups and downs, my thumbs up and thumbs down from these episodes. First of all, let's talk about the characters, because we were barraged with a whole slew of characters. I mean, we had Red Alert, Rodimus, Jazz, Ultramagnus, Highbrow, Shockwave, Hotshot, Ironhide, Brawn, Blackout, Oil Slick, Cyclonus, Striker, Omega Supreme, Blur, the Starscream Clones, Cliffjumper, Perceptor. We had a ton of characters in this episode. The highlights for me, as far as the look of the characters and the body, my favorite couple were Rodimus and Brawn. I thought they looked really cool. My downside would be Red Alert being a girl. I hate it when reboots change the sex of a character, so that's absolutely retarded. I did not like Stryker's look or Stryker's voice. I thought Stryker just overall was a retarded character. And I also did not like the voice they used for Cliff Jumper. Obviously, Cliff Jumper's look is fine, but Cliff Jumper's voice is not very cool. And my other highlight for new characters was the, even though he didn't appear as a character, was the sighting of Metroplex. I've always loved Metroplex, and just having him in the series, even if it's just as scenery, who knows what'll happen eventually, but just seeing him was really cool. As far as the overall episode, the episode was great. We had lots of different angles going on. We have the Long Arm Prime Shockwave double agent angle with him and Blur, and him, you know, just trying to keep his cover. We have the whole Starscream and Megatron controlling Omega Supreme, and that ending scene was just absolutely awesome with Omega Supreme and going back and forth between Megatron, Starscream, Prowl, and as they try to battle for it, that was really cool. We had the whole Sorry storyline, which I'm getting over it, but I don't like it in concept, but they're not doing a terrible job with it, so I'll at least give them that much. But we had a lot of different storylines going on, so that was really cool. I forgot. I also did not like Perceptor's voice. Why does Perceptor have to be Stephen Hawking? I'm not 100% sure. But overall, the episode was really solid. We had a lot of different storylines, a lot of good stuff happening, a lot of Transformer-centered stories, so that was excellent. My only nitpicks for this episode, and the only stuff that I didn't like besides those couple voices that I mentioned and the fact that Red Alert was a girl. First of all, having the Headmaster angle come back, I thought I was supposed to love this third appearance of the Headmaster, but no. On Starscream, it looked retarded. Having Starscream as a separate head was funny. It was akin to Bulkhead when he was a separate head. I liked Starscream as a head, and I loved when he said free at last when he hit the ground, and that was kind of funny. So that was all right, but having the Headmaster angle in here was just stupid. That wasn't needed. Project Omega was cool. As far as my other little nitpicks, I didn't like it when Masterson said, "Nobody calls me a noob. Nobody calls me a chicken. Are we Marty McFly or is this Transformers?" More than meets the Viz scanners? No, it's more than meets the eye. It's a fucking Transformers trademark. You don't say more than meets the Viz scanners. But I did like it when he said, "We don't need no stinking key," because we don't. Sorry's robot form is kind of retarded looking. And Prowl saying my cyber ninja processor over matter, and him trying to like meditate and make it work was retarded. But those were the only really things I could find that I didn't like. The Prowl trying to meditate over things, the use of a couple lines like Viz scanners and that type of thing, and then the whole Headmasters part. But everything else was really excellent in this. Blur was a highlight of the episode. Omega Supreme was a highlight. We got to see Jazz again, so that was cool. And I really liked the ending with the whole Omega Supreme thing. That was just really cool. So this is a great start to season 3. I'm hopefully going to get over the whole Sorry being a robot / organic bull crap storyline. I'll hopefully get over that. But the whole now being more connected with Cybertron, dealing with the Elite Guard, dealing with the space bridging and everything else that's connecting all of the Transformers, it seems like we're going to get a lot more Transformer-centric storyline, so that'll be great. So overall, solid episode, great start to season 7, and I give it a 7 out of 10.
Dizzy! Not liking to Dizzy!
Now back to Transformation Animation Podcast.
We are back, and thank you to the Cybertronian correspondent for his thoughts. My first note was actually, it's kind of funny. I know Kevin really just kind of glazed over it because we kind of went into more detail, as he said in the clip. But wow, a clip that Kevin is actually positive in when he's recording, because he hardly had anything negative to say about anything.
Well, except about Stryker.
Well, maybe he hasn't seen Beast Machine, so I think probably what it was maybe it was her voice that he didn't really like, or maybe it was the overall character. I don't remember at this point.
I think they made Stryker significantly more badass.
I do too.
Yeah, here. I mean, I think she was a really good supporting character, and Obsidian was the badass in Beast Machines. Mm-hmm. But yep. Here it was, yeah, it was really cool to see her.
Yeah. And he also mentioned that he likes Cliffjumper's design, but he doesn't like the voice for it. You know, Cliffjumper, David Cage did the voice for Cliffjumper. Maybe it's because Cliffjumper is kind of monotone. Maybe that's why Kevin didn't like it. I'm not sure.
Does he want Casey Kasem to come do it?
That would have been cool, but still. You know. And I already mentioned the headmaster bit that I thought he was going to like. Mainly it was, you know, Optimus Prime throwing the stuff back in his face. You know, Optimus calling him a noob and daring him to transform and all that. So
that was well done.
Yes, it was. So overall, we're looking forward to season 3. Thank you for joining us here on Transformation Animation Podcast. Or as always, get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TFA Podcast. Mine is TFG and Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
My Twitter is PeconCT Michael.
Again, you fucking forget it.
Well, it takes me a second. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Shit. Yeah, it's PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We are now up to, I think, 283 fans. Thank you to every one of you.
Woo!
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be reviewing 3 more episodes from Transformers Animated Season 3. Those being 3's a Crowd, Where is Thy Sting, and 5 Servos of Doom. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Michael Wilson
and Steve Megatron Phillips.
We'll tap you again next week.
Transform and roll out.
Oh no! I can feel this glue seeping into my circuitry!
This is just a theory, mind you, but if you consider the possibility of using concentrated sonic pulses at alternating frequencies to weaken and dissolve the glue that's binding us, rather than complaining about it, which accomplishes nothing other than the endless restatement of a problem that is painfully obvious to all of us in the first place!
My superior intelligence detects the kernel of a useful idea in that endless prattle of yours.
Agent Florida, Cybertron Command! Coming, Cybertron Command! Call Brad! Megatron is online! Decepticon invasion imminent! Is anybody there? Can anybody hear me? Is this blasted cat-link even working?
Puny Autobot! You think you can warn your bosses against the likes of me?
I'll warn them! Everyone has to cross the galaxy to Cybertron to do it!
Agent Blur, what are you doing back on Cybertron?
While stationed on Earth, I intercepted a transmission between Megatron and his double agent on Cybertron, who I can now positively identify as the Decepticon Shockwave. Further analysis revealed that Shockwave's voice print did not match up with that of the suspected traitor Wasp. However, a detailed cross-reference with the Cybertron Intel database should determine the identity of the real traitor.
Have you shared this information with anyone else?
I have not! Per your orders!
Good.
Do you normally make it a habit to attack your own bot, sir? I mean, it seems a little strange, perhaps even Decepticon-like behavior, if you don't mind my saying so. In fact, if I didn't know better, I would venture to guess at this point that you're trying to eliminate me for some unknown reason!
I know I can't catch you, but I can trap you.